You fill up my senses like night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again. Come let me love you, let me give my life to you, let me drown in your laughter, let me die in your arms. Let me always be with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me
Hello, my radio friends, and welcome to Loveline. It's 11:07 p.m., and this is WRCT Pittsburgh. As you all know, brilliant singer, songwriter, actor John Denver died on Sunday, tragically, in a experimental plane crash. And this show and all of our future shows are dedicated to John. John, we know you're listening from up there in heaven.
John, my heart is with you.
Rest in peace.
Amen.
Tonight's show is based on a comment that one of our hosts made a couple of weeks ago, that sorority girls are all mindless airheads whose only purpose in going to college is to meet a eligible bachelor with good earning potential, get married, and establish and become comfortable marrying somebody who's going to make a lot of money and give them a secure household. I believe that was you.
I don't think I said it in quite so many words.
It had something to do with sexual appeal.
Yes. I believe the discussion was about sexual fantasies, which we, by the way, unfortunately had to linger on me for about 25 minutes. And I think, we should definitely, in the whole Loveline audience, be much more interested in hearing the sexual fantasies of other hosts, perhaps.
Yeah, but I think a lot of the audience shares your stereotypes of
sororities. Perhaps they do, and my stereotype was simply that I'm in my own sexuality. The stereotypical sorority woman that we are presented with was not in any way part of my fantasy. However, let's say a group of fraternity boys or men, as they were, would be. So this
What is your stereotype of a
sorority
woman?
Yeah, this is where the stereotype came in, and that was simply somebody much more, first of all, wholesome and reserved, sexually reserved, than say somebody who is not actively involved in a group of women. in this social environment, and also perhaps somebody else who did have somewhat of an agenda. I wouldn't go so far as to say.
What kind of agenda do you think a sorority woman has?
See, I don't know.
I mean, your stereotype.
Right.
Just go ahead.
I think the agenda was very much this kind of social competition. And I think maybe perhaps some of the stereotype feeds into very similar to what we see in high school, this kind of female in high school who is always going for the guy and is always on the cheerleading team and is always has to be number one with her friends and number one in the school. And I think at university level, you can't always have that. I mean, I think, you know, you still do have sorority prom queen and homecoming king and queen and all these other events, which, you know, can be, I guess, landmarks in some young women's lives. And I guess that seems somewhat immature, and perhaps some of the games are seem somewhat childish. And this is again,
no physical stereotype that goes along with the sorority girl, because when you're talking about a sexual fantasy,
I believe the term I used last week or 2 weeks ago was airbrushed.
airbrushed, right.
Like
yeah.
like a penthouse model.
And you wouldn't want that? Nice little perky breasts?
No, not really. I mean, again, this is, I think, you know, the comment was, you know, this stereotype is something that you could find in a magazine, or, you know, you see the media image everywhere, and it, the more you see it, perhaps the less impressive it becomes.
Perhaps it's time to introduce our guest.
That would be great.
I apologize for violating protocol. I am DJ Rocky Mountain High 2000. And my fabulous and beautiful co-hosts tonight are
DJ Great Greek Chris.
My name is Pablo.
And our beautiful and very, very sexual sorority guest,
Mitzi.
Welcome to the show, Mitzi. I have to say that after your comment, none of our previous topics has generated the kind of email, U.S. mail, phone calls. Nothing else has generated this much irate your mail than your comment about your stereotype of sorority women.
Well, the necrophiliac did bring in quite a couple.
Yeah, necrophiliac was
together with some law enforcement officers as well.
Right. But this is somewhat unprecedented. I did see the WRCT Loveline mailroom quite filled.
But so Mitzi, your job here is to
dispel.
Oh, excellent. Dispel away, because I hate this stereotype. Look what it has done.
I mean, how can you even have a you're a man who can't even decide on what his sexual orientation is. How can you possibly?
Well, you know, I've got to start making, you know, the selection somewhere. So you figure.
But I don't understand. If you think sorority girls, women, however you want to put it, are airbrushed, you don't know anyone that is in a sorority?
I knew a lot of people who were in sororities when I was in school.
And you thought of them as being airbrushed people.
But perhaps not so much physically airbrushed, but maybe somewhat mentally airbrushed.
What is this word airbrushed? Does this word have a meaning?
Yes. Well, I mean, it means kind of using, I don't know, I mean the obvious term, the term comes from airbrushing pornographic imagery.
Sort of gloss over the imperfections.
Exactly.
Touching superficiality to hide imperfections, right?
Bingo.
So
have said it better.
So I think we're making a lot of people very upset. They must call us. What are the phone numbers, DJ?
I believe locally on campus you can access us at 268-WRCT and off campus at 621-WRCT. Foreign viewers, of course, as always, country code 1, area code 412-621. 9728.
So airbrushed.
As always, I just want to mention.
I mean, I knew some, you know, very intelligent, wonderful sorority women in school.
Women.
I will not say girls, chicks, or other derogatory
babes.
Terms.
Babes.
And I can definitely say, you know, most of them were very nice and very. But none of them actually were. I can honestly say none of them were people I could see myself with. Which was not any reason for me to kind of perpetuate the stereotype.
But you were after the sort of the hard male bodies of the swim team anyway. You weren't even interested in women. I mean, come on.
No, I was interested in women. I was just interested in women who were not interested in me, namely lesbian women. But, you know, that's the great tragedy of my life.
I don't want to spend another 25 minutes on your fantasy, but in the context of your fantasy,
right.
You were not even... So you were willing to allow some heterosexual hunk of a man to be a part of it, but you would not allow some sorority women to
be part of it. I think so where
you weren't even sexually attracted to them, let alone.
And this is, well, the accusation...
you met a nice lesbian woman, and she said, and someone who you were very attracted to, and they said that they were belonging to a sorority.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That was just an automatic turn off.
No, right? Definitely not. I mean, having met the person first, I would definitely think, you know, there would be a big difference than having met the sorority first and then, or knowing about the sorority and then this person, you know, approaches. I mean, I think it's definitely very different. However, I think the main, this brings up another part of the fantasy element, was very much in my fantasy involving a whole slew slash group of fraternity brothers in a sexual situation, as opposed to a group of sorority women.
You basically wanted to be the sorority woman. Is that what I'm?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
Essentially, yes. I wanted to be the gang raped, I guess. However,
does this sort of thing go on in sororities?
This is where it really broke down, and where everybody got angry was when I said I don't think sorority women would do that. I can't imagine. I mean, that the fantasy is so unreal because...
That there'd be no reverse?
I cannot imagine that there would be a bunch of women living together with a lot of guys interested in them who wouldn't at least play with an idea like that. Doesn't that go on? Mixy?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what we need to start hearing. We need some dispelling dispelling facts.
No, it definitely goes on. I knew people in my sorority. Our sorority would engage in stuff like that, little daisy circles, if you would. We would be at a...
Hey, hold on, daisy circles?
Yeah.
There were flowers? And.
No, that's just what they were called. But there'd be a mixer with a fraternity, and you would go. These would be two or three times a week. Some fraternity would issue an invitation, and we'd show up at their house and get drunk and drink beer and dance, and we would go off into another room, a group of us, anywhere from, 5 to 20.
This is in enemy territory in the fraternity.
Well, not enemy territory. It was all very friendly.
All right.
And we'd, you know, say, hey, what about him? So we'd pull him into the room and put him in the center of the circle, and he would go around and make out with all of us.
What does making out?
Wow.
Making out is, you know, groping and kissing and all that kind of stuff, but...
Groping,
that's
good.
We get him to take his shirt off sometimes. Sometimes we get him to take his pants down. Actually, I remember a few times we got him to be buck naked, but, I mean, there was nothing beyond...
Now, buck naked...
Buck naked is
With 20 people threatening to do something sexual with you is pretty good.
Yeah, the men enjoyed that.
Oh, I bet.
The ones that I participated.
Well, Chris obviously would if he was man.
Well, no. I think I could enjoy it.
But I do. I sometimes look back on that and think of it as being a group mentality thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It was definitely a lot of fun.
What was perhaps the excitement for you involved in something like that?
It was more the enjoyment of me and everyone else there. It certainly wasn't a sexual thing. I think it was definitely a sexual thing for the guy.
Was it a power thing?
Yeah. Clearly. And I think it would be the equivalent of, like, well, I don't know. You know, I've never known anyone. I've known women who were involved in gang rapes at fraternities,
mm-hmm.
but I've never known any guys who would admit that they were involved in something like that. But I would imagine it's a similar kind of feeling.
I mean, when you would grab these guys in from another room, I mean, were they willing participants, or were you...
There was pinning them down. Well, you know, on my perspective, there was this feigned little, oh, I don't want to do it. Oh, I don't want to do it. Wink, wink to the brothers.
Hey, no, no means no. Don't you know that?
Yeah. This is disturbing.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah.
But,
all I can think of was The Handmaid's Tale, you know, and all you... I don't know if you saw that.
Never saw it.
Oh, it's just all you women then pounce on the man and tear him limb from limb.
Like a praying mantis. Huh?
Well, you know.
Corey's into misogynist drama.
I guess if you didn't see the movie, it wouldn't make much sense.
But, so it was fun, but I don't necessarily... I mean, looking back, I think that that's probably wasn't such a good thing, because on the other hand, I mean, this had happened to women, and women would be crying rape, and meanwhile the guys would be like... The women would say, oh...
But
it appeared like he was really enjoying it. Most of them were.
But in fact, they did, right? I mean, they must have totally loved it. I'm sure this is like
the
source.
No one ever tried to get away, and it's like,
could they have gotten away?
Sure.
Okay. I think he wasn't
closed in a circle of women.
That's definitely where. But see, that's where my fantasy would come in, because I would want to be closed in. I would not want to be able to get away. See, that's where I didn't see a sorority being able to play enough of a forceful role.
Come on, it's just you with 20 or 30 people.
Yeah.
Whether they're male or female.
Mm-hmm. Or less. I mean, that would be a big circle.
You're totally underpowered. You have to do whatever they want to. Mm-hmm. And if you believe their intentions are to be your master, they will.
Pretty much, yeah.
And these were the days before Rohypnol, right? So you didn't have that kind of chemical advantage.
Rohypnol?
What is Rohypnol?
Rohypnol is the famous date rape drug.
Oh,
which,
yeah. Those were the days before Rohypnol, but those were the days of ecstasy and all that other kind of stuff. So.
Cheap beer and ecstasy will get you...
WRCT does not endorse any particular drug. The choice is yours.
And choose wisely.
Wow, but I mean, I would think, you know, given that it's all fun and nobody's actually being totally oppressed, that sounds like an incredibly powerful sexual fantasy. That would be something that if it happened to me, and if I were heterosexual, they would cling to me for years. That would be totally great in the right circumstance. You know, making out with all these kind of fun sorority girls. It sounds great.
Or so, these shirtless sorority guys.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Dopey big tooth look on their face.
Well, I think if you were a typical heterosexual, it would be, how do you say this? It wouldn't be that you had made out with all those sorority girls, because for you to make out would imply being somewhat in control, right? So you might get pleasure, but it would probably be from being...
from being an object, essentially.
From being an object, right. Yeah. It wouldn't be from a typical
sexual... But long-time listeners of this show know that being degraded and submissive is one of my crucial sexual turn-ons.
I think, most people's crucial sexual turn-ons.
Essentially.
And that's why my relationship with you never worked out, Pablo, is because we both were the submissive type.
Yeah, we're both, right.
Wanting to
please
feel
go
so
first,
used.
Please go first, please go first, and nobody opens the door. It happens.
We laugh in the face of tragedy. So when all of this is going on, if we can back up to the grabbing of the man, I'm assuming this is your entire sorority cannot be involved in this.
A big, huge party situation, mm-hmm. And I went to a school, much bigger school than CMU, as an undergrad, and the Greek community was pretty highly emphasized there as far as social activities, and that's why I joined a sorority, basically, was to have a better social life. And so the houses were huge. I mean, they were like some of the big mansions you'd see in Squirrel Hill, and not like these fraternity houses that they have here. And I don't think they're sorority houses at all at CMU, are they? They have dorm rooms or like a room.
They have shacks, as it were.
They have houses that are not very different from the fraternity houses, actually.
They're just in one
a different
row.
Part of town. But,
oh, okay. Yeah. But they would have, big, beautiful, historical, landmark kind of houses. And so there would be these big, beautiful, historical, landmark kind of houses, and their whole basement would be smelling like urine and stale beer. And there'd be all kinds of rooms.
I hear
that.
Degradation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was there a dungeon?
Well, fraternities might be better people to speak with. I was sort of disappointed with my sorority initiation because I thought that there might be some sort of degradation involved with that, and there was none at all. We had to go on this big scavenger hunt.
This is what goes on during Rush, this initiation?
Well, Rush is the process whereby you are sort of selected. You select what sorority you want to...
So initiation is like boot camp?
Initiation is like boot camp, yeah, okay. When you're finally inducted.
All right.
Nobody's pushing medals into your chest.
Actually, they did push metal into my head, but it was nothing.
That was not the
crown had. It was supposed to be the goddess crown, and they pushed a spike of it into each of our foreheads. But I thought there'd be some good sex stuff to go along with it, and there was nothing at all.
Were you hoping for heterosex or lesbian sex?
No, heterosex. But something, something where you had to prove your womanhood in a way, like go down on this guy or lick this off of someone's chest or that kind of thing. And there was nothing.
Wow.
We had to recite the Greek alphabet backwards and then sing a couple songs and that kind of thing.
Wow, so you were actually hoping to, like, lick the semen off of someone's chest? Am I hearing you?
I don't know about semen. Something is what I said, not necessarily.
Well, I just
semen.
Thought you were being,
we're mixing a fantasy with
I was
reality.
More like whipped cream
or
peanut butter.
Go down on someone. I mean, this is so exciting, though. I mean, I would have assumed that you would have said the opposite. I mean, the modern trend seems to be to make hazing less and less degrading.
Well, I think that is the trend for school administrators. I think that a big reason a lot of people join these things is to belong to a group of people, right? And part of that is kind of proving yourself to belong. And not that I was thinking of it in that way, that I had to prove myself to belong to these people, but maybe subconsciously I was. But I wanted
you
to do something.
Maybe you had to embarrass yourself.
To kind of embarrass myself. Right. It takes a lot to embarrass me. So I was hoping for something to do that.
And the bond would grow out of the embarrassment.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, nice. But I do have to say, with all these mixers, you know, like I was saying before, the whole reason I joined a sorority, at least where I went to school, you had a much more active social life. And so with these mixers, I certainly met a lot more guys, and that way had a lot more sex than I would most likely have had if I didn't belong to a sorority. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's kind of the MO when you go to one of these mixers.
But this is not on every sorority woman's mind entering the party.
Or no, but I'd say a lot of them. And, you know, like you were saying, it is very much like high school. So you go to college, and it is like high school, and in high school you have a clique. Mm-hmm. And so depending upon which sorority or fraternity you belong to, the potential for sex or the desirability of having sex, which doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as potential, differed on which fraternity or sorority you belong to.
Right. So were there definitely more sexually potent sororities?
Oh, yeah, and definitely more sexually potent fraternities.
So that was part of their initiation? Or, I mean, did they have to go through a written and physical exam?
No, it was just the personalities of the people that were attracted to belong to these different groups of people.
So how do you rate your particular sorority on the scales of, you know, sexual potency and you know, all the other scales in terms of
sexual potency? Does that mean how fast or how
well? I mean, how interested were you all in having lots of and a variety of different kinds of sex?
I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, our sorority would have been an 8.
Ooh, that's
so
likewise.
You know, we were way up there. Because we certainly enjoyed our own company, that's for sure. But, you know, we like guys.
Your own company and sex are not exclusive. I imagine a lot of women living together some of them might be interested in having sex with other women as well. If nothing else, out of having a bondage with
a bondage?
A bond. I'm thinking of jail bonds.
Same thing.
No, so how was... I'm sure some sisters must have been lesbian or must have been bi at least. Is that
yeah,
the case?
We had some lesbian sisters, women in my sorority.
Now, were these lugs? As the term we learned from our
lesbian. What is a lug? What is a lug?
Lesbian until graduation.
Sure, what?
Lesbian until graduation. Is the term these kind of college faux lesbians, as it were?
Huh.
I'm not sure.
I never thought about that. I think probably some of them were, and I think some of them were just, I don't know. I mean, I never really thought about it. If they were lesbian, they were lesbian. Mm. But maybe, yeah, looking back, because a few of them did sort of discover themselves while they were in college, and typically it was with another sorority member. So, yeah.
These are not necessarily...
I should interrupt right now and say, if you are a lesbian or a lesbian until graduation, please do call us. 621-
or a lesbian member of a sorority.
621-WRCT, 268-WRCT are the phone numbers. The website, as always, http://loveline.wrct.com. So... Oh, we've lost our sorority.
Only temporarily, our sorority girl has a woman as a small bladder, I'm afraid.
So, we should talk about our own sexual fantasy. I mean, these stories that I hear about fraternities and sororities are so arousing. I'm just so angry that I wasn't in a fraternity when I was in college. I mean, what a missed opportunity.
No kidding. I mean, I can honestly say, I mean, I give the swim team a lot of credit for, a lot of incestuous behavior. I mean, certainly most of the people on the swim team ended up sleeping with one another, at some point. But there was never this kind of same-sex communal living that that can bring it along so much more, which I think, is perhaps the most unfortunate thing.
When you talk about same-sex, do you mean about...
I'm talking about, men living with men, women living with women.
Just because that brings out sexuality with people outside, or in your case, because...
Well, I think, that this whole social scene, and as our guest has been saying, as Mitzi's been saying, the whole, you go to a party, you...
As a group, so,
there is another group kind of waiting there, the receptacles, as it were, uh-huh. of your affection. And so, you kind of... this whole thing is set up just for sex, it would seem. I mean, I wonder, what else is there in the social aspect of this?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot more. At least they will profess that there's a lot more. I wish some of them would call us and tell us what else there is. We don't seem to be able to understand.
So, Chris, did you have sex with anyone on the swim team? You were
its yes.
most powerfully sexual member.
Mm-hmm. I dated one person.
Male or female?
Female. I know. It's tragedy, considering, all that there was to offer. But, now there was definitely, it was definitely not an option at that point. But, it was still a good time, but definitely, I was one of many people who used that opportunity, wouldn't use that opportunity, but seized that opportunity because you're spending a lot of time with these people. It is very much your social event in the college atmosphere,
right?
And you're seeing each other naked most of the time anyway, so what the hell,
right?
And you're so, almost there.
And so and since you're all so incredibly advanced athletically, only another swim team member would be able to keep up with you.
Yeah, we were better. Pretty much hoping to create, a genetic species of physically elite offspring. But
we're talking about how groups of members of the same sex, a sorority, for example, fraternity, or
the
swim team is mixed, I suppose. How they, Korean.
That's DJ Rocky Mountain.
Rocky Mountain, yeah, 2000. Was saying that wished he would have belonged to such a group, because
we're lamenting our missed opportunities of these same-sex colony experiences.
I'm sure this is very sarcastic on both.
I don't think it is. I think it's
but
definitely
I do think,
very.
I did it. I never really thought that this was something that I would do. I went to Rush my first year for one night. The Rush process, at least where I went to school, lasted for 2 weeks. I went the first night and decided it was bullshit. And then the second year, I became friendly with a group of people who were all in this one group. And so I decided that I would
become Rush. A lesbian.
Well, not become a lesbian, but join this group of people who included a subgroup of lesbians.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what other? I mean, I guess the other thing we were discussing while you were gone was, what are the other social things that the sorority was doing besides these drunken
mixers?
Group sex mixer parties?
Well, that was my
things.
Favorite part. To tell you the
oh,
truth.
All right.
But they'd have intramural teams, and they would do charity events, blah, 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 blah. And they did provide – I went to a school that was much bigger than CMU. I mean, I think my class was about 5,000 people, and I came from a real tiny place so growing up. So it did – and no one I knew went there. So it's not like I went to this place where I knew anybody. So it did provide, after I got to know some people, a group of people that – I felt connected with. It was sort of an identifying factor for me at the university, mm-hmm. whatever.
So you must have spent some other time together with them besides the parties and the sexual
exploits.
Oh,
we ate there every night. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, they had a house and people lived there. I never lived there, but you were required to join their meal plan. So you would go there for lunch and for dinner if you wanted to, and I did, usually, because I was paying for it, so.
Right. But, and so I'm actually sort of interested in, you said that some of the women really use the sorority as a way to climb the social ladder and, you know, find, and they exclusively use the sorority to find, like, a, you know, a eligible mate.
With the MRS or the pre-wed.
The pre-wed. Mm. Uh-huh. So pre-wed means what?
These are degrees, I think.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, exactly.
MRS means?
Mrs.
I see.
As opposed to Ms.
And earlier, during a pre-interview, you actually revealed that you had a startling and powerful attraction to me, mm-hmm. your co-host. Now, is that because you sensed my own earnings potential as a computer scientist?
No, because I sensed your hot muscles and a big brain.
Throbbing both. It's
oh, pulsing in front of us.
Watch out for the big brains. They're hard.
Mm.
It is.
Are your big brains hard right now, Corey?
Both of my lobes are actually fairly firm at this point.
Wow. But,
I mean, it's more a burden, really, than a benefit, because I keep the sorority girls are coming up to me all the time, sorority women, excuse me, trying to get me to join their little makeout circles and
just to feel your head.
With my thesis research and so on, I don't have time for all this sexual activity.
Oof.
Yeah, see, maybe you're talking to the wrong one here, because the sorority that I belong to didn't seem to have any preferences on, and I encountered this when I was rushing, per se. They didn't have any preferences with regard to your religion or where you grew up, i.e. I went to the University of Virginia, so there were definitely some sororities that wanted to know if you were from the South. And the South is not Washington, D.C. or any Northern Virginia suburb. Mm. That's south of, say, Charlottesville.
I see you've taken on kind of a different kind of accent when recently.
Right, right. Well, they have a different demeanor. And
this is the Southern Belle
That's
mentality.
My stereotype of them, right? And most of them were...
So we see...
These are the women that have their... What are they, those coming out parties? Or what's it called?
Oh, debutante balls.
That would be...
Debutantes.
That's a
everywhere,
French word.
But there are a lot of them in the South.
I see.
But a lot of that old-style protocol was more involved. And so they'd want to know what your daddy did. Mm. What was your daddy's job? And your mama worked? Your mama went out to work? Well, that wouldn't be a good thing. So you probably wouldn't be invited back to one of those sororities.
There was a story that broke the news, I think it was last year, about one of these debutante balls where I think this was in the deep South at some school, where they actually had it at a plantation and hired African-Americans to be out in the fields.
To pretend that they were slaves.
During the time.
It sounded
quite delightfully twisted. But
it was a historical reenactment.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody was willingly. I mean, and I think they were actually paid to be out there, but it was definitely a little too close to Dixie for the rest of the country's flavor. But, you know, to each their own, I guess. But anyway, and this is maybe where some of these other stereotypes come from. And I think it's interesting that you have your own stereotype.
Well, I think I would bet, I don't know, but I would bet that the further south you go, mm-hmm. that the more emphasized and the more active the Greek communities and college campuses are. I mean, I bet Texas and the University of Georgia and Florida belong to a fraternity or sorority is much more important than if you go to, say, the University of Maine.
That's not true at Texas, Austin, at least. But anyway.
It's much more of a cosmopolitan area, though.
Right. So I guess there's more sex going on. So do these Southern Belles approach sex in the same manner than your sorority might? Even if you don't
sure.
know, tell us.
Sure. Yeah? Well, again, I'm stereotyping. I mean, people are different. And there were plenty of people, and I still am friends with people that I met when I was in college who were what I would call from the deep South. But generally, these women approach sex in the same way. It seemed to be more of an old-fashioned or an exchange, kind of like, I'm going to give up something for Bubba or Pooter or one of these other, like, Southern boy names.
Pooter.
And they're going to give me something. So I'm going to get a ring or I'm going to get flowers. A lot more of the protocol was involved. So I'm going to get a dinner and A weekend away and some flowers and everything paid for, and I'll give him sex, as opposed to people in my sorority or people in other sororities that weren't necessarily Southerners. And it's like, all right, well, my sorority's having a dance. What do you, my date, Ross, want to drink? Okay, I'll order a bottle of that. And then you want to have sex? Okay, I've got the condoms kind of thing.
I'd like to take a moment to introduce DJ producer Southern Belle Kate, who I believe has a comment for us.
Yeah, just a little one. I actually went to school in Virginia, too, and I went to William & Mary. And I think that I knew a lot of people from the South there, too, and for the most part, their attitudes towards sex and politics and everything else generally tended out to be a very superficial thing. I mean, I think their mannerisms on the outside and the sort of traditions that they seemed to profess on the outside were very superficial. And when it came right down to it, they were living their lives exactly the same way other people were. They were just using a different rationalization to justify it. Mm. So, I mean, so
I guess I'm sorry if I came off as sounding that way. But maybe to me I perceived it. I thought that maybe I had said that basically deep down they were doing the same things that everyone else was doing and being the same way. It's just they had a different MO in the way that they approached it.
Yeah.
And the way that I perceived it was definitely from someone who was from the New York metropolitan area, and it's all generalization.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not just, I mean, I didn't say that just because of your comments, but also because things like, I can't remember, like reenactments of having people in the field being slaves and saying that your mother shouldn't work and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's stuff people say, but the girls who say that are the same women who go out and, you know, go to law school as soon as they get out of school and stuff like that. I mean, they end up having careers a lot of times. And so I think there's kind of a myth perpetuated about the Southern culture that they like having perpetuated about themselves.
So it's self-perpetuating kind of what you're saying.
Absolutely.
They promote it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's very interesting. It's this whole weird dynamic that goes on.
So they kind of expect you to understand that they're speaking in code, like I guess all of us doing social situations.
Oh, and yeah. I mean, it is a total social situation, too, because they do it about everything. You know, people, right. Everybody says hi to you. Everybody's very pleasant to you a lot of times in the South. And very rarely do people really mean it.
So this is very interesting to me. Maybe both Mitzi and
DJ producer Southern Belle Kate.
DJ producer Southern Belle Kate. Thank you, DJ. Rocky Mountain 2000. Maybe they can tell me, so how would I approach a Southern Belle? I really like her. I would like to have sex with her. And perhaps I want a longer-term relationship, but I don't know that yet. What's the greatest successful strategy for one of these people?
You put, like, one of the General Lee bumper stickers on your car first and drive around? Put that on your own?
Well, no, because that would only be a superficial appeal, right?
That's perhaps... But so maybe starting to feed into.
Yeah, see, the thing is, when you call someone a Southern Belle, then that's kind of a stereotype. And
do I treat them like anybody else, or do I try to speak the code that they're speaking to me?
Oh, see, I don't know well enough. Maybe Kate knows the answer to that. I would say a person like you would anybody else, because they are just anybody else.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you might want to like grits.
I like grits.
So Mitzi, did you ever date a...
Oh, no, wait. Ask Kate for her answer on that one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'd agree with you, just like you would anybody else.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, so...
There's no point in pretending that you're something you aren't. I mean, that's just kind of... Anybody...
Not pretending, but trying to learn the same code, which is something superficial, and they understand that. But it's always more comfortable to talk to people who speak your code.
See, I never got the... Where are you from,
I'm from
Kate?
Virginia.
Pardon me?
I'm from Northern Virginia.
Okay, because I never really got the code at all. And it didn't take me long to realize that I just wasn't going to get it. So, and even though that didn't mean that I wasn't, like I said, friendly, because I do have friends that I have who are from Georgia and Louisiana, and they can do that, but they don't do it with me.
Right.
And I never learned how to do it with guys, like that flirtation thing.
Yeah, I never.
But the Southern flirtation thing.
Right, it's a whole different thing.
Right.
I had one of my best friends from college. I lived with her for 2 years. Actually explained all of this to me, because she was raised in a very small town in Tennessee, and her, you know, they moved to the city, they moved to Roanoke kind of thing, and she would just, you know, she'd have to go to all these parties and balls and things like that, and she would just complain about how she had to be so fake to everybody and be nice because that's the way everybody was,
right?
You know, and how she expected to be treated by a man even though she had every intention of going out and having a career and everything, like for her mother and for her sisters, it was just this it was just a given that you would perpetuate the myth that you were there for your family and not for your career.
Hmm.
So that's where I got it from, basically.
Do Southern boys have the same? I mean, you said you had somewhat frequent sex. I'm talking to Mitzi now. Yeah, that you had somewhat more frequent sex in due to your sorority than.
Well, that's speculating, but I would, okay. You know, knowing myself, I would bet that that's pretty true.
Right. So I'm wondering.
It just puts you in a forum to meet more men, right. And you know, there's alcohol and all that kind of stuff.
And so some of these men were from your from natives, say, of the land.
Oh,
of
sure.
The Southland.
Yeah.
So did they have expectations from you?
Right. As a related question, I'm wondering, what is the Southern code for surround me in a circle and force me to make out with you?
No, that was not a male instigated thing. I mean, that was something that the sorority sisters instigated on their own. That was not, oh, we've gotten a signal from the guy, so it's okay to do this now.
Presumably, some sort of code passed along from generation to generation for how to form one of these circles.
No.
I mean, these things can't just happen spontaneously.
Sounds like they did.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you think that any of the girls that were in your sorority or that you knew that were in sororities would ever had an interest in subjecting themselves to a fantasy like Chris, or I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Is that what you're going by?
That's what I'm going by.
Okay, that Chris had a couple of weeks ago where they would be completely submissive and subject themselves to being, have whatever done to them by a large group of fraternity men.
Well, I would say probably yes, but not because it wouldn't be the same reason that they were in a sorority.
No, I mean, no, but...
But,
I wasn't
yeah, thinking, sure.
Like, I think, is that something that happened?
And I think, too, that maybe the sorority that I was in was sort of atypical in a way. I don't really... I'm speculating as to that, but I can't imagine, because any group of people, and the sororities at UVA were big. I mean, there were about 120 or 140 in each of these things. So you're going to find a variety of people in there. And within that little subgroup of the university, there are going to be different subgroups. And so we had a group of people that were lesbian, and we had a group of people that we called the God Squad, because they were very sort of do-gooder kind of people, volunteering
so you find,
all the time.
Would you find this God Squad in the circle? Or
sure, you'd okay. find one or two of them in there.
Hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the good thing, too. I mean, is that there was
good.
Some sort of common quality to all of these people that made them want to join or be invited to join the same place.
Mm-hmm. So some of them had the fantasy of losing control and being forced to perform sexually by a bunch of men. For example?
I would bet that some of them had that, yeah. There was one, Ms., I'm not going to say her name, but she had a name that sounded like a society girl name.
Buffy. We'll call her Buffy.
No, it wasn't Buffy. It was much more sophisticated than that. It was like an old European-style name.
Buffarelda.
And she would often get down on the floor and do her Madonna imitations, but then that was, you know, writhing around on the floor like the, what was that video that she had, the Star song? What was that song?
Lucky Star?
Mm-hmm.
Sorority Girl,
something like that.
Confidential.
And we would just get the biggest kick out of her, and she would get the biggest kick out of herself because she was so quiet and demure, studying accounting. She works at a big bank up in Boston now, and she'd come home without her underwear on, telling us all these stories, and yeah, I think that she
the
would
bank
probably...
The bank is that? Do you...
I think that she might enjoy something
I think
like
a road
that.
Trip may, you know, may be in need here.
But just like one of you guys would, right?
Well, I don't
know. We always retrieve our underwear.
Boxers are always on, but...
It is interesting to think about public figures and you know, how responsible they seem in public. I mean, Esther Tro may be a total sex pig in private. Who would know? Well, I guess David Goodnow. I'm talking about the Channel 11 news team here.
Of course.
What kind of name is that? I always look at it and I think it's like backwards. Like they have a mirror up to her real name.
Well, because you usually watch the show in bars. And
see, I like Dela Cruz personally, but you know.
So,
I don't know. I think the sorority topic is kind of, and fraternity is kind of touchy because There are stereotypes that you can associate with the different ones, but basically, if the group is big enough, there are going to be enough different people in it that you can't stereotype. So
no, but
you all have lesbian feelings. I mean, that's got to be a common denominator.
Well, probably otherwise, all women have lesbian feelings. So
all women have lesbian feelings.
I'd imagine to one degree or another, just like all men have homosexual. I mean, all people have homosexual feelings. If you want to think of it like that.
Really?
When you say that.
Well,
Kate disagrees?
No, I agree.
I certainly do.
but I think we're all triggered by opportunity, and living with a lot of people of the same sex, we have, well, first opportunity to behave really drastically towards members of the opposite sex outside, but also to bond.
Did you feel that way with your roommate your first year of college?
My roommate.
Did you have a roommate your first year of college? I'm sure.
Wait, was
did.
There a sexual tension?
Oh. No, there was no sexual tension, but there could be if he was somebody else, I suppose.
If he were.
Yeah, exactly.
TJ 2000. Yeah.
Well, then it would be pretty inevitable.
Inevitable to anybody, even.
Just look at those lobes.
Charles Bronson would be trying to
what
get in his
left
pants.
Left lobe.
Wow.
There was sexual tension between me and my college roommates, but that's a whole other story.
Well, they were teasing you.
Some of them. Well, it's very complicated. I mean, there was a very, I was very close to some of my roommates, almost too close in some sense. But I don't want to get off the topic here. I mean,
well, I think that it is somewhat telling, because I mean, a lot of this is the first time a lot of people do have a same sex living situation, especially college kids. I mean, this is, if we want to go even further in stereotypes,
it's the first time a lot of people have a living situation.
Exactly, yeah. Because
right.
you're
away from home,
you're wealthy, or you're coming from a family that at least had enough money to so
give
you didn't have to share a room.
By yourself. Yeah.
Exactly, so you've had all this time, sexual time, to yourself. During your whole phase of sexual discovery, suddenly there's somebody else living in your space. You know, how do you deal with that? I mean, I know it just
from
totally
out of town comes to visit, and right. You're in a bedroom with six other women.
It completely screwed up my masturbation schedule. Like, I mean, to no end. I mean, and I would please call if you're having problems. You know, with this. I mean, you know the numbers 412-683-WRCT.
That's not actually correct. It's
621-WRCT. I'm sorry, I'm getting confused with 268 other
WRCT.
Numbers in my life. But anyway.
So how did you masturbate when you were in college?
You just got to know my roommate's schedule really well and just do it when he wasn't there.
You can always masturbate in the shower or, you know.
Yeah, but that's just so hasty. I mean,
in the steam room.
You know, you want to get into it.
Yeah, but the danger of being discovered is interesting.
Well, it is. And there were definitely times where I was.
There's actually something really good about having roommates, though, when their girlfriends come over, right?
Mm.
You basically have the imagination that you can use to masturbate is aided by sound and maybe some visuals as well.
Well, this is also fascinating, because it's a shame that our other host who used to be on so often before, Jordan, who is on assignment currently in Zimbabwe, looking at the female circumcision issues going on there. It's interesting because we actually had an overlap my freshman year a bit when she came out to Pittsburgh, and the girlfriend of my roommate came out, and it was the last night they were going to be there. Both of them were leaving the next day. It was kind of that last night, you know, we're not going to see each other for months on end. What do we do? And the four of us ended up the two couples ended up engaging in sex with a very loud radio on, but it was still a very interesting time.
That
and you
sounds
wonder,
kind of nice, actually.
It was, actually. It was very nice. It was in a bunk bed, no less.
Oh, jeez.
So, it was
a new meaning to the who's on top.
Right, exactly. there were three on top. So anyway, I mean, it definitely is an interesting time, I think, for a lot of people because of you were observing firsthand somebody else basically going through some of what you're going through sexually. And I can only imagine that's magnified in the situation of a sorority or fraternity where you're with maybe four or five people, you know, if you're in a community room or something like that. I mean, I'm not sure all these situations are so different.
But even if you're in other rooms, you trust them enough that you might walk.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to be around. I mean, yeah. You could say you're close to 30 or 40 people of the same sex. I mean, you're living with these people.
Or just, yeah. And I guess part of it, too, is being in a situation where you can speak pretty frankly with a group of people and you're in situations where people that you, a fairly large group of people will be sharing sort of intimate things about themselves, but then these people all come from fairly different backgrounds. And I remember when you were telling this story, like, I went to college a virgin, and I remember going out with a group of these women that were in my sorority. I hadn't joined. This was my first year of college, and they were telling these stories about, I mean, we were sitting around outside someplace having a picnic and drinking, but they were telling these just amazing stories to me, amazing, just mind-boggling, not that I would want to do something like this, about how they had all gone on a ski trip together somewhere out west, and how one of them had slept with this really cute-looking guy, and then it came out with this group of six of us there that one of them had ended up sleeping with the father of this guy, who was a divorcee, but still he was like 30 years older than she was, and to me at the time, I was like, oh my God, she slept with a guy who's a dad, blah, 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 he's a divorcee, blah, 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 he could be her father, and, yeah, so it's a pretty good learning experience, too.
But there's no threesome involving both the son and the father.
No. No. Mm. But there was the one had slept with the son, and the other had slept with the father, and then the one who had slept with the son later on ended up sleeping with the father.
So doing the whole family
stuff. Tantalizes you.
That father-son bonding, that's what hunting is for. Mm. You don't have sex together with your
father. It's a different kind of hunting.
That's right.
You don't? Interesting.
Well, so I mean, I guess, did you, you came to college a virgin. Did you expect that the sorority would lead to, I mean, well, can I ask another more personal question? How long after you joined the sorority, or was it through the sorority that you lost your virginity?
No, it was before I joined the sorority.
Okay.
But you lost your so-called lesbian virginity in the sorority, is that right?
No. I've never had lesbian sex.
Excuse me?
Do we have the wrong guest?
Did you think
finally, somebody who hasn't had gay or lesbian sex. Thank you, Mitzi.
Corey, where did you find her?
Corey didn't find me, actually.
Oh, really?
I just wandered in off the street. That might be the problem.
No, it's fantastic.
So I'm an anomaly.
You've at least
that
had,
I'm like a total heterosexual.
No. You've at least had polyamorous experiences, I hope.
Well, I mean,
what does
you
polyamorous
had this
mean?
Well, I got a lot of hate mail because I defined it incorrectly last week, but it apparently means something about having sex with as many people as possible, or something.
Being able to have sex with multiple people in a meaningful way.
Also, being able to be in love with, I believe, was the term of male and female, and pretty much anyone simultaneously.
But more than one person at the same time.
Being inundated with definition. No, yes, yes, and yes. No, yes.
So have you had a sexual experience involving more than yourself and a partner?
No.
No threesomes, foursomes?
No.
Does have to be at the same time.
I couldn't do it.
How about with two different people at slightly different times? So one day is with one, the other day is with the other.
Yeah, I've done that.
Third day is with the first one again.
So there have been, like, frequency.
That's sort of multiplexed.
Yeah, but I didn't like it too much. I'm pretty old-fashioned. I'm very old-fashioned. I can't think beyond too much. I'm one of those people, too, that I couldn't even have a car phone in my car. All I can do is just drive. So one guy, that's it.
That's all you need to drive us. So
what about sex in the car? We had that two weeks ago.
I've had sex in a car, but not while driving a car. Okay. Have you had sex while driving?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, we had this. She was
No. That would definitely be a logistic nightmare. But no, definitely. It was oral. But we had this discussion already. I don't want to get off the track.
We're not on the track.
You are the track. Come on. We're going to bind this together.
We have two more minutes. So
yeah, but this clock is I've been told by the I was checking with the time in Greenwich, and we actually have 5 minutes.
Oh, excellent!
Great.
Greenwich time.
So what did you like about the temporary polyamorous relationships?
I felt too torn.
So you wanted to be able to put all your attention, all your like daydreams, while you were at work during the day, into one person.
I don't know. That sounds like a Petula Clark song.
Given your focus on a single man, were you crushed when you found out that I was homosexual?
I wasn't crushed. No.
But
I just thought,
disappointed.
Oh,
she still
bad.
Harbors hope that she'll convert you someday.
No, mm-hmm. I've learned that a long time ago. If you try to convert, you can't convert.
Have you tried? You have tried to convert.
Well, not tried to convert, but I have had a lot of crushes on gay guys, I have to say.
But Chris is an example right here of a gay man who has turned straight.
Well,
I have this conversation
with Jordan all the time.
Yeah, but these are just quaint little definitional games. You are heterosexual for all intents and purposes.
I am behaving heterosexually.
You don't even get naked in the shower.
Okay. Everyone is just going to have to get naked at some point right in front of Corey and dance around for 5 minutes. They can just have his little fantasy and be done with.
So what does that mean? You said that you got a lot of crushes on gay women, and I've had a lot of crushes on gay men. So is that supposed to mean something about us?
Well, I actually think it's very natural that people of the opposite sex should see this. Because, I mean, I was actually thinking about this today when I was doing some research in the WRCT labs, was that, I mean, it's no wonder, or maybe shouldn't be so much of a wonder, that women are attracted to gay men, and perhaps maybe gay men are attracted to men are in general might find a lesbian woman attractive, because they're kind of after the same thing, at least sexually, in some ways. I mean, stereotypically sexually, they're after the same thing, but they have a lot of similar values. Perhaps they could.
Similar values, I can see. I don't see looking after the same thing sexually. I mean, yeah.
Well, a lesbian, I mean, let's say a gay man is looking to hook up with a man.
Right.
A woman,
okay.
A straight woman, is also looking to hook
totally
up to a man.
Different.
So there is, maybe this isn't part of the general description, but maybe in terms of the way they carry themselves and the way they are presenting themselves, talking, living their lives, this could become very attractive.
But Mitzi's saying that she was sexually attracted to lesbian women, and that you were sexually attracted, not just merely attracted.
No,
as
she was attracted to gay men.
I was sexually attracted to gay men. He was sexually attracted to lesbian women.
That's what I meant.
Right.
But not as soulmates, but as sexual objects.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's different.
Well, and just in general, someone like me who exudes sexuality, I mean, people just stop me on the street or on the bus and offer to couple with me. I mean, it's actually a burden. I mean, people of all sexual orientations and stripes have this need to be with me. And frankly,
you can't take it anymore.
Well, you're busy with your dissertation.
There's a herd of small animals that follows you around constantly on campus as well. I've seen.
He's a regular Dr. Doolittle.
Chipmunks are scrappling at your feet.
Dr. Do Me is actually what I refer to
myself. Do much.
Do the biggin.
So, according to my calculations, we have about 30 seconds left. Mitzi, can you tell us your advice to young sorority girls the world over?
Oh, my God. Be free. That's all.
Be free. Don't take a drink from a stranger.
And perhaps don't allow yourself to be stereotyped.
Yeah, well, I give that advice to everybody.
It'll happen.
All right, well, this is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's 12 o'clock, approximately midnight, and this has been Loveline, and we love you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Oh, I see. Let's take a walk on the moon. Come on, come on, come on.
The proceeding was a production of WRCT Public Affairs.